Good morning. 7:18 a.m. Friday, August the 7th, 2020. It's a lovely morning. Lovely, lovely. 60-something. Sun's still pretty low in the sky. Almost a little chilly here, walking in shade. Almost. It's not quite. But it's a gorgeous morning. It really is. We've got a waning gibbous moon over the mountains to the west. It doesn't look like there's a cloud in the sky here today. Looking all around, I don't see any. So, Cafe Press, we'll have merch soon. I think we're going to stay with Cafe Press and get one of their premium stores. Just so that the Toehold Bazaar will probably be the new home, so that EJ doesn't have to redo all the work that she's done there. And we'll only have to add in some of the things. We've got a list. She made a list from the Facebook group for all the different things people want, and some of it we probably can't do. But some of it we can, and I suspect we will. She's hip deep in a project. I'm hip deep in Hostage, book one of the Barbarian series. It's a good book. I mean, I feel self-conscious saying that about my own book, but I only wrote half of it. And she wrote the other half. And the way the book blends together is astonishing, given that we didn't see what each other was writing as it was going in. It was just at the very end where the two had to merge seamlessly. So I wrote one chapter and she had to write the next one, which meant her chapter before my last one. And had to match up with, no, I wrote the last one, she wrote the first one. But her final chapter, we both wrote 18 chapters. We did not plan that. We both wrote 18 chapters. So her last chapter had to feed my last chapter. And we were coming at them from different angles, with different perspectives, with different characters. And I showed her the chapter she was writing into, because I had written that one first. So I showed her the chapter she was writing into, so that the one that comes before mine, setting up the final confrontation, would have all the pieces moving in the correct directions. All the momentums, all of the vectors will all be pointing the same way by the time they merge. She did a brilliant job. Brilliant. So I'm pretty excited. My usual approach to this is going to be like a third or fourth draft, just because we keep passing back and forth. This will probably be my final pass before I give it to her for a read through, before it goes to betas. And I will send it to more betas than I did Finwell Bay. But my usual goal in editing is 20% a day, so I get it done in 5 days. And I go by pages, because at this point I'm working in a manuscript file, which is a word processing document. And it doesn't make any sense at all for me to count. See, are they on the sidewalk? I got one on the sidewalk, I got one on the street, okay. So it doesn't make any sense at all for me to count words here. So I count pages. And my goal has been 20%. So it's 468 pages, 468 manuscript pages. Good morning. And I got through 140-something yesterday. 148 or so. 142. I don't know, some 140 out of 468, which is a little more than, well, 20% would be. Less than 100. For 500 pages, 20% would be 100 pages. I get through 140. So it's close to a third of the book, just in one day. I got into it and did some silent video conference. it's really interesting how that works. I'm a group of local writers who I am friends with, who have sort of been busily beavering away in their own niches, in their own books, and pursuing a very smart kind of process. And we try to keep each other pumped and cheering and moving and getting books out, and it's working. They're getting books out, I'm getting books out. But one of them came back with this idea that it was something she was doing with a group, where several people would log in on a chat video, and they would work for 50 minutes and take a 10-minute break. And during the 50 minutes, everybody's mics were muted. There was no sound. But the pictures were there, the images were there. And I've arranged my screen so that I can see at least some of the window. And so we log in and we say hi and we establish what the time parameters are going to be, and then we go to work. And, you know, you do two or three of those in a row, and that's, you know, that's 3 hours work done. So having that sort of silent accountability thing going really helped. Can't decide what these people are doing. Stopped on the sidewalk over there to put their masks on. Let me give them a wide berth. And head south. Here we go. It's funny, here's that rabbit again. There's a little bunny that sits on a prairie dog burrow, like it's his house. I don't know if he ducks into it when people get too close, or... Maybe they've adopted him? I don't know how it looks. Anyway, it looks weird. It always strikes me strange whenever I walk by and see that bunny sitting there. All right, coming up on it. Get ready. Stay with me. I'm on the poster. So, a shout out to Mel Hayes. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Mel. Holy cow. Yeah. I mentioned a few days ago that exporting from Scrivener created files that didn't actually work very well. Because any paragraph that had an italics in it, switch to underline. And it turns out that was actually a setting in the compile options. The compile options that I played with once many moons ago and never looked back at. And I don't know if it's going to help, but at least it won't translate them all to underlines. It'll keep them italics. I noticed there was a setting for turn italic into underline. There was the other side of it was turn underline into italics, which I thought was interesting. And I started thinking, okay, well, how can I get this so that it actually exports in Times New Roman? And how do I set it so that it sets up, can I set it so it sets up the curly quotes? And the answer is, why, yes, I can. So in theory, I should have better luck exporting from Scrivener in the future. And I don't know when I'll be working in Scrivener again. I tend to use them for the quilting project, those stories where I have to do a lot of filling and matching and moving around and resequencing and all of that, because Scrivener is perfect for that. But I find it awkward and distracting to type in, to draft in. But having Scrivener that will work more reliably for the way that I want it to work means I can go ahead and write the files however I want to write the files. And then if I need to sort and shuffle and move around and do all that stuff, then I can do that in Scrivener. And not have to spend a lot of time cleaning up after putting them in Scrivener. So, thanks, Mel. So yeah, I got into the 11th percent again. It's still pretty good. I didn't read much yesterday because I was busy writing. And apparently I need a new battery for my phone because this one doesn't hold a charge for more than a few hours at a time, which means I basically have to keep it plugged in. And if I forget to plug it in, then by the time I need to want to use it to read, then I'm already down around 25%, so I can only read for about 10 minutes before it dies. So I didn't read much yesterday. I didn't read as much as I wanted to yesterday, but I'm still enjoying the book. It's definitely, I'm going with paranormal. It's definitely fantasy. Is it urban fantasy? Is it paranormal fantasy? I'm thinking it doesn't really matter. I'm sitting here trying to parse this out. It's like, is it urban fantasy? Is it paranormal? Why choose? Why choose? It's contemporary. It's fantasy. There are strange happenings. There are spirits. I don't know if they're ghosts or some other kind of spirit. It's not alcoholic spirit, but. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's a very intriguing story. T.H. Harris, The 11th Percent. I'm about 25% through the book, and I'm enjoying it, so I'm at that point in the walk where I tell you what I'm reading. That's what I'm reading. I put a link to the book yesterday in the show notes for yesterday's episode. That's my friend with the little Scotty dog. She's finishing her loop around the park. You can see her up ahead of me, but she's a long way off. Just gave her a wave. She waved back. That's funny. I'm seeing more people that I recognize now that I'm doing it more or less regularly. And most of them are sort of like in their own zone. But if I smile and wave and say good morning, quite frequently they'll sort of like smile and wave back. It's like, good morning, good morning. I see you. Yeah, they're putting a roof on the house next door. Yesterday, they spent the whole day yesterday taking the roof off and laying down the underlayment. And I had a bad feeling when I left the house this morning. They had a crew assembling it. 7 o'clock. And the bad feeling is that I'm pretty sure they're loud enough that they're going to have awakened my wife, who does not like morning. She's not a morning person. Tall, thin guy with white hair, jogging. He's awash. Very striking, very handsome, older gentleman. Flashing down around the chimney. These are the people that have solar panels. They had to have the solar panel people come out and take the panels down so they could put the new roof on. Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.